Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
I'm beginning a brand new series today on 1 John. This is one of my favorite books. I haven't taught 1 John for a long time. And John talks really about our relationship with God. And this book was written in the early 90 AD. So he had been loving Jesus and serving Jesus for over 60 years. So you could think about lessons that we learn as we walk with God. And he had a tremendous relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even after he had been persecuted, suffered major persecution, major difficulty, he was passionate about his love for Jesus. Amen? And so I'm passionate about my love for Jesus. And I love John and his word. So we're going to begin in verse 1 through verse 3, an introduction. He says that, or we could say him. He's speaking about Jesus, him who was from the beginning, who we have heard, who we have seen with our eyes, who we have gazed upon, and our hands have handled. We came into a personal relationship with Jesus, with the Word of Life. For the life was made known, it was revealed, and we have seen him and bear witness of him, and we show you that eternal life. Jesus' life changed our life, and we're sharing that life with you, that life which was with the Father and revealed to us. Him who we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you might have fellowship with us. This is our goal. We want you to have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at this word fellowship in the Greek is the Greek word koinonia. And what it means a partnership, a sharing, right? Communion, communication, right? A joint effort. We're working together. How many of you are glad that you're not on your own? How many of you are glad Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you? How many of you are glad that the Bible says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? So we have a relationship with God through Christ, and the Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of us. So what do we learn as we walk with God? Well, one of the first things that we learn is that you can't find joy, true joy, anywhere else than your relationship with Jesus. And so that's the very first thing that John addresses right here in verse 4. He says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. There's lots of places that people are trying to find joy. Sometimes people are trying to find joy through relationships. And it's good to have positive relationships. But you know what? If you don't know how much Jesus loves you, there's nobody that can love you enough. Amen. You've got to find true joy in knowing how much Jesus Christ loves you. Sometimes people are trying to find joy through their identification, maybe with their job. You know what? You can't find true joy through, you know, your position at work or power in this world. Some people are trying to find joy through their possession. Ecclesiastes says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. You know what? It leaves you empty at the end of the day. You know, the only place that you can find true joy is through knowing God through Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, Barbara and I, we were going to visit her grandma. She lived over in Paonia on the West Slope. And so we got this deal in the mail. And it said, hey, you can come and spend a free night at Vail, Colorado, but you got to listen to our sales pitch in the morning. So I'm like, hey, I'd like to spend a free night in Vail, a nice place. So, and I'm pretty good about turning down sales pitches. So anyway, we spent the night, and then we had to spend about an hour the next morning with this people. And this lady sat down. Finally, you know, I was just not buying it, right? So finally, she said, what could I do to make you happy? And I said, well, I am happy. And it's like I just rained on her parade because you know what? I just said, Jesus is the one who makes me happy, and it's not something that's going to make me happy. So true joy can only really be found through knowing Jesus, through knowing God in your relationship with Christ. You know, Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. He says, therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. You get joy from salvation. Amen? When you're born again, when you have a relationship with God in Christ, you have the joy of the Lord in your spirit. Paul wrote in Galatians 5, verse 22 and verse 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. If you're born again, if Christ lives in you, you have all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you. Now, David talked about joy in Psalm chapter 51. He had actually backslidden. He went the wrong direction, but he was coming back the right direction. And he said this in Psalm 51, verse 8 through 12, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Praise God. David was talking about, I want to be right with God. I want to walk, you know, in a good conscience with God. Now, in Psalm chapter 16, there's a prophecy about the resurrection of Jesus. And in verse 10 and verse 11, it's actually about the death and resurrection of Jesus. He says, for you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Where do we get joy? We get joy in our relationship with God in Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord, in our relationship with God. Jesus talked about the day the Holy Spirit would come. And he talked about the day he was resurrected from the dead. I'm going to read some verses here in John chapter 16, verse 23 and verse 24. He says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Before now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Again, we have joy through our relationship with God, through our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only place that we can really find true joy. Peter talked about it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He said, whom? Speaking of Jesus, you have not seen, but you love him. And in whom? Now, even though you don't see him, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even though we physically have not seen Jesus, we believe in Jesus and we rejoice in him with joy. Peter says it's unspeakable and full of glory. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not a bunch of religious rules and regulations. How many of you are glad about that? But it's righteousness, right standing with God. How do you receive righteousness? By faith in Jesus. It's peace. Amen. We have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not about all these outside things. It's about right standing with God. It's about peace with God. And it's about having joy in the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus gives you a joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. I thank God that I have joy in my relationship with Jesus. But John doesn't stop there. He goes on and he talks about some other things that we find when we walk in a relationship with God. Notice in verse 5 through verse 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are lying and not telling the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. So what happens when we walk in a relationship with God? Well, if you're walking with God, you're going to be walking in the light. You know, there's a scripture that I love from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. And I'm going to turn over there and read a few to go with it. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says this, "You were sometimes darkness." He's talking about before you came to know Christ. You were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You need to recognize who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Then he says, walk as children of the light. If you begin to identify with Christ on the inside of you, that he is light, guess what? You're going to begin to walk in the light. You know, for years, I grew up in a church that said, get saved, don't sin, repent, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, repent and don't sin. So you know what we did? We got saved and we went and sinned. And we repented, and we went and sinned, and we went and repented because that's what we taught. But then I came into a new revelation of who I was in Christ. And when I got that revelation, I began to walk in a different way. And we'll say, that's darkness, and this is light. And you know what I did? I walked right out of the darkness, and I walked right into the light. Amen? And you know, I really sin all I want to. I just don't want to anymore. Hallelujah. And I found out I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Amen? I found out that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I found out I've got the love of God, the life of God, the light of God on the inside of me. I found out who I am in Jesus Christ. And it changed the way that I live my life. And you know what? It'll work for you. Now, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all, in everyone, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Listen, if it's not good, right, and true, you don't need to be involved in it. Amen? He says, proving, you got to walk out, prove out what is acceptable to the Lord. He goes on in verse 11 through 13, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them which are in secret. But all things that are reproved or are exposed are made manifest. They're revealed by the light. For whatever does make manifest is light. You know, Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse 21, he said, whoever comes to the light or comes to me, that whoever's works are wrought in God, they're founded in God, comes to the light. Amen. When you know that your works begin in God, you can come to the light. Praise the Lord. And you don't have to be ashamed of all the darkness and of all the difficulty and all the problems that are in this world. Now, as we go back, what happens when we begin to walk in the light? When we begin to walk in the right relationship with God? Number one, we begin to walk in the light. But what's he say then? He says in verse 7, 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We come into a relationship with other people of like faith, right? And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, is cleansing us from all sin. So we have fellowship with one another. That's a natural effect when we begin to walk in the light, when we begin to walk in a right relationship with God, that we have fellowship with one another. You know, I can tell a lot about who you are by who you hang around, by your closest associations. Amen? You know why? Because people that are in walking darkness, they love darkness and they don't really like the light. But when you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and guess what's happening? The blood of Jesus is cleansing you from all sin. You know, in John chapter 8, these religious leaders wanted to catch Jesus in a trap. So they went down to the local brothel. That's what I believe happened. They dragged out a woman. They said, hey, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, they really didn't care about the woman. They were trying to catch Jesus in a trap. And Moses in the law said, stone her, what do you say? Jesus said, I'll tell you, whoever has not sinned, I want you to throw the first rock. And you know what? Then they went away. From the oldest to the youngest. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, that by the law is the knowledge of sin. They were good students of the law, so they knew not only someone else's sin well, they knew their own sin. And they all left. Jesus then looked at the woman and He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. You know, Jesus was the only one who never sinned. Jesus is the only one that had a right to hold this woman in judgment. And you know what Jesus did? He forgave her and He freed her. That's exactly what the gospel does. When you receive forgiveness, you also receive freedom. Thank God for the freedom that the gospel gives us. He went on to say in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the very light of life. Jesus is the light of the world, but He didn't stop there. In other scriptures, He said, you are the light of the world. Amen? I'm the light of the world. He who follows me is not going to walk in darkness, but they're going to have the very light of life. What happens when we walk with God? Well, we begin to walk in the light. And it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, in verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. It brings us into sweet communion, not only with Jesus, but with one another. And when we do that, He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Now, I personally believe that there are two aspects of this cleansing. First of all, I believe there's a vertical aspect of this cleansing, and that's talking about our relationship with God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. I want to look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. We'll read verse 13 through verse 15. He says, and you, he's talking about identification with Jesus. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He made to live together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many sins has He forgiven us for? All of them. Amen. How many of your sins have been paid for? All of them. How many sins did Jesus' blood pay for on the cross? All of them, past, present, future sin, even was already paid for. Amen? Now, when did you receive the benefit of that? When you believe Jesus. Right? When you believe Jesus. Now, what happens when your sins are forgiven? Notice what he says here in verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen? You know, the law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. It showed man sin, but Jesus took that away. You know, you don't get closer to God by knowledge of sin. You get closer to God by knowing Jesus. Amen? And so he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. What gave the devil right to rule over humanity? Sin. So what gives us the right to rule over the devil? Righteousness, forgiveness, right? When Adam and Eve transgressed, what happened really was Satan usurped the authority that was given unto man. So God sent Jesus as the second Adam. Jesus lived on this earth and did no sin, died taking our sins, and then rose from the dead victorious. You know what he said when he rose from the dead? I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And guess what Jesus did with those keys? He gave them to you. He gave them to me. And he's given us authority over the devil. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I have good news for you. The devil is not who he used to be. The devil doesn't have power over you. The devil doesn't have power over me. The only power the devil holds over a believer is deception. But if you can break his deception, you can break his lies, and you can begin to walk in authority as a believer. You can begin to walk in authority as a child of the Almighty God. So we're forgiven for what? Every sin. Amen? Every time. Amen? How do we get it? Believe Jesus. Amen. Now let's go back and look at this a little bit more in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 14. Let's look at what Paul says. He says, we give thanks to the Father who has made us sufficient to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. One translation says that he qualified us for God's best blessing. Say this. Say, I'm qualified for God's best blessing. He goes on to say, who has delivered us? Who has delivered us from the authority, from the dominion, from the power of darkness, and translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the sons of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You see, part of redemption is the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says the same thing, but it adds on, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. So years ago, I had this question for Andrew Womack. And I was talking to him, you know, about forgiveness, right? And when I asked him this question about forgiveness, I said, you know, he took this side. That Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he took this side, our sins are already forgiven, right? This happened over 25 years ago. We were meeting in North Carolina. Then the next year, but I took the side, but as a believer, you need to keep a good conscience before God. So the next year, I met with Andrew, and I was talking, a year later, talking to him about the same question. So I took the side that we're forgiven for every sin, every time, already paid for, past, present, and future sins. And he took the side, but as believers, we need to keep a good conscience. Amen? So both of those are true. Amen? So what happens when we walk in a relationship with God? Well, we begin to walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. So there's this aspect that, number one, this vertical relationship has already been dealt with. I am accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm redeemed from every curse and forgiven for every sin. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Right? So this vertical relationship has been taken care of. But I live in a world that's been affected by sin and Satan. So even though cleansing and my forgiveness is already paid for, I live in a world and it's a dirty place. So cleansing, right? I still need cleansing. Right now, the Bible tells us this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, and it shows us this right there in the scripture we just read in Colossians 1, verse 13. Galatians 1, 4 says this, Jesus gave himself for us to deliver us from this present evil world. So in one sense of the word, I have already been delivered. In another sense of the word, I am being delivered from this present evil world. And in another sense of the world, I trust that when Jesus comes, I will be delivered. We could say, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. All those things are true, scripturally speaking. Amen? But what happens when we walk in a relationship with God? We begin to walk in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Now, my last question is simple. Who needs to be forgiven? Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1, read verse 8 through verse 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. There's an argument sometimes in the church. Is this scripture for unbelievers or is this scripture for believers? My answer is yes. Amen? This scripture's for everyone. Do unbelievers need forgiveness?
Yes.
How do they get it? Through receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and their personal Savior. Amen? Right? Romans 10, 8 through 10. The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. You know what he's saying? He's saying Jesus already came from heaven. He already came to this earth. He lived sinless, holy, perfect, and pure. You read this in context. This is what Paul's saying. He already went to the grave. He already conquered the devil. God raised Him from the dead and made Him Lord. Now, if you believe that, the word's near you. God put the ball in your court. Amen. The word in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes. How do you get righteous? With the heart man believes unto righteousness. God already made righteousness available through the death and resurrection of Jesus. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You know why I confess Jesus is Lord? I confess Jesus is Lord because I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe God made Jesus Lord when He raised Him from the dead. Amen. And when I confess Jesus is Lord, I go from sin to righteousness. I go from death to life. I go from darkness to light. I go from bondage to freedom. Hallelujah. So who needs forgiveness? Unbelievers need forgiveness. But who's John writing to? He's writing to believers. So what do believers need? Believers need to keep a good conscience. If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, the focus, if you read the whole context here, the focus is really not sin. The focus is your relationship with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me show you a little more. Context. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have a friend. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Who needs forgiveness? Unbelievers need forgiveness. They need to believe on Jesus. But believers need to keep a good conscience. Paul says this in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. He says, I exercise myself to have a conscience that's void of offense toward God and toward men. Amen? He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, there are some concerning the realm of faith, they have put away a good conscience and they have made their faith shipwreck. How many of you want to shipwreck your faith? Keep a good conscience. Amen? So, lessons we learn as we walk with God. What happens as a result of knowing Him? Number one, we walk in the light. Number two, we walk in freedom. Number three, we walk in forgiveness. And we come to a place where there is therefore now no condemnation. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.